we are ready on a Friday night to reminisce about the Buccaneers and Super Bowl 37 from 10 years ago. It's going to be a special weekend as the Bucs of 2012 get ready to play the Philadelphia Eagles. It's going to be fun to reminisce with the guys from 2002 who beat the Eagles in the NFC Championship game and then later went on to defeat the Oakland Raiders in the Super Bowl. And it's going to be fun not only to reminisce with all those guys, but specifically with this guy who's our guest tonight for the full hour. Welcome the People's Champion and Super Bowl 37 MVP, Dexter Jackson, to Buccaneers Total Access. Good to see you again.
Thanks, TJ. It's good to be here, man. It's an honor to be back in One Buck representing the 10-year anniversary, some of the players who came back. Just being here is an honor.
We're going to have a lot of fun tonight. I'm going to mention that there are a couple of people that are going to be calling, namely former teammates of yours, that I'm sure you're going to cut up with them. See, I know my role, Dexter, that when that happens tonight, I'm just stepping out and letting you guys reminisce. We did this earlier in the week with Rondé and John Lynch.
Okay.
We've had Keyshawn on. We've had Warren Sapp on. Had Brad Johnson on last night with Josh Freeman. So the natural first question is, it's 10 years later. Is that amazing that it's 10 years later, Dexter?
Yes, it is. If you think about it, it seems like it was yesterday. And, you know, I have four daughters since that has happened. You know, my kids has grown up. They're in school. And time flies. That's one thing that doesn't stop is time, and time flies. And, wow, you look up, it's 10 years.
I just saw Roman Oben downstairs, who played left tackle on that team. There are a lot of guys, and Roman said there are so many guys that I haven't seen even since that Super Bowl year. Are there a couple of guys that you haven't seen for 10 years that you're looking forward to seeing here in the next 48 hours as this game gets played?
You know what, TJ? I pretty much did a great job of keeping in touch with people. I always reach out to guys, give them a telephone call just to see how they're doing. You never know when a phone call might uplift someone's day, so I pretty much, you know, keep in touch with the guys, see how they're doing. And plus, I do a lot of traveling right now, so when I'm traveling, I have contacts in different cities. So I try to, you know, stay in touch with guys and, you know, let them know everything is well in Tampa and we holding down the fort for them.
Along those lines, the guys have got to be excited about this weekend. There'll be a gathering on Saturday night here at One Buck Place, and then
Correct.
You guys are going to be honored Sunday. What's the chatter amongst the guys about the reunion here and the whole thing?
I can't tell you that. You know, that's one thing about our little group. We never told on ourselves. We never told on one another. But
just be
here Saturday night.
Give us a hint, though, for those that can't be here Saturday night, like the fans that are listening. Are they excited? Are they pumped up about getting back together and talking about all this like we're doing on the radio?
Right. Yeah, everyone's excited. You know, listen to some of the guys speak. You know, it's some older guys who still feel like they can play. You give me a uniform, I'll play tomorrow. I'll play Sunday. And I think I'm one of those guys who feel like he can play.
I know the People's Champion, and you still believe that.
But you know what? If I get on the field and I hear the fans, you know, Dexter, the people can influence me to play great ball Sunday.
I do remember, and fans should know this, the reason why I'm joking around is because you would walk around and call yourself the People's Champion. And the media knew this, and a lot of the fans 10 years ago knew this, that you would have a championship belt, and you would walk around with the championship belt as the people's champ, like pro wrestling,
Correct.
Like the people's champion. Just tell me, I mean, that was a lot of fun for you back then.
Yes, it was. You know, when I first came in, I wasn't that big name, and everyone, in this game, it's a lot of politics. It's about big name. And when I first came in, you know, I was trying to build a reputation for myself and let people know who Dexter Jackson was. Not only a football player, but I was a person who was heavily involved in the community, getting out, helping a lot of kids. And while I was doing that, that's where the name the People's Champs come from. It was bigger than Dexter Jackson. So I wanted to get out and give back to the community. And People's Champs came along with that.
All right, so we're going to talk some about that coming up. And again, I will let the audience know that's listening. Tonight is going to be one of those nights to just hang out and listen to the fun here, because Dexter's going to have a couple of teammates that are going to check in with him as this show goes along. You began your career in 1999 with the Buccaneers, yes, right at the time that things really got good. That 99 team, your rookie year, went to the NFC Championship game. What was it like to come to this team with veterans, and you know where I'm going here, with Sapp and Brooks and Lynch and Hardy Nickerson on that 99 team and Rondé and on the defense alone. What was it like as a rookie to walk into that locker room in that situation?
Well, you know, the first thing, coming from Florida State, I had a relationship with Derrick Brooks, first of all. Warwick Dunn, I had a relationship. And when those guys Tampa Bay drafted me and I came here, Derrick Brooks, Warwick Dunn, those guys was there to greet me at the door. And because I had a relationship with those guys and I saw how they did it was, okay, you're a part of the Buccaneers now. We are a team. It wasn't about individuals. And I learned from those guys. You know, those guys was constantly teaching the younger groups, or teaching the younger guys. That's why when those guys were paid free agent money to go off to different locations, different teams, we didn't miss a beat because the leadership that they showed prepared the next generation or the next player to step in and play. And I was fortunate to come here and learn from those guys who did it the right way, not only playing football but out in the community touching people's lives.
Well, and you mentioned that is still important to you to this day, and it's something that started with Tony Dungy about wanting guys being, you know, in the community and an important part of the community. And there was immediate success, obviously, for you in your pro career as again, this team got all the way to the NFC Championship game. But the next 2 years could not get past the Philadelphia Eagles, and we have had so much fun reminiscing about finally breaking through and beating the Eagles as you guys did in 2002, actually 2003, on the calendar for the NFC Championship game. What was it like to finally get through and beat the Eagles, close down the vet after the frustration there with the playoffs?
Now, TJ, you touched a nerve just then, TJ. You know, for years, they was our nemesis. We couldn't get past the Eagles. But what a great way to end the Eagles dynasty for, what was the vet? What they
call
it?
That's right.
The Vets?
Veteran Stadium.
That's
yep.
what it is, the vet. We destroyed that stadium. But to come in the last game at the vet, the irony of that, to beat us 3 years in a row. To beat us, and we are the team to close down the vet, to send them to the new stadium. I just felt like things happened for a reason, and it happened at the right time.
You know, we've joked with Rondé for years that interception is going to live forever. He picks off Donovan McNabb late in the game, races the other way, and that sealed the deal to basically go to San Diego and play Super Bowl 37. In that moment, you know, what do you remember 10 years later about seeing him jump in front of the receiver and take off?
finally. That was the first thing, finally. I can tell you the route. We call it the option route. The receiver comes up. He has an option to turn in or out, and he turned in. And, you know, Rondé being Rondé, he jumped the end, and I see Rondé running downfield, pointing at his back, barber. And finally, that was the biggest thing. Finally, we got over this hump. And that was our motto that year, keep pounding, and eventually that rock will break. And, you know, it came to the light.
And, you know, I know your teammates are probably going to talk about this because the guys have talked about it this week as well, that it was a blur because that was one of the last years where they only had a week in between the NFC Championship and the Super Bowl, only 6 days to get prepared for the game. Again, think back on 10 years ago. Was it just a blur getting from Philadelphia to San Diego to get ready to play the Raiders?
But you know one thing, TJ? We was hot at the moment, and we didn't want to sit out a week. You know, we was on fire. So when you're on fire, you want to keep it rapid fire. And actually, it worked in our favor. We had played the 49ers the week before that.
Right.
Then we played the Eagles. Everything was falling in place for us. So we know we had everything going perfect. We didn't want it to stop. So actually it fell in our favor, I believe.
Well, and it certainly did on Super Bowl Sunday, where, again, this man was the most valuable player. I was joking with the People's Champion right before the show began. 10 years later, there's only been one Super Bowl. There's only been one MVP.
Yes.
Dexter Jackson, Quincy, Florida.
Yes.
There you go.
That's it. Dexter Jackson.
So we're going to have fun talking with him about that. And, again, we're going to have a special guest or two join us during this edition of Buccaneers Total Access. It is the Super Bowl reunion weekend, the 10-year anniversary of the Bucs Super Bowl win. And we'll talk with Dexter and a special guest as the show goes on here. Stay with us on this Friday night on the Buccaneers Radio Network.
Christmas is just around the corner, and Buddy's Home Furnishings has this year's hottest holiday gift ideas, like the Apple iPad 2, Samsung Galaxy Tablet, Kindle Fire, high-def TVs, laptops, Beats by Dr. Dre, and more. And best of all, you're pre-approved at Buddy's Home Furnishings to receive up to $2,500 in in-store credit, with payment plans to fit your needs, including lease ownership programs, or up to 6 months same as cash. For more information, call 1-888-9-BUDDIES or visit BuddyRents.com.
Geico says, let's make life simpler.
What's the old saying? Oh, build a better mousetrap and the world will beat a path to your door. The trouble is, a lot of mousetraps aren't any better. They're just new. At Geico, we've been saving people money on car insurance since 1936. That's over 75 years of savings. It's simple logic, really. Why not go with the company that's invented the mousetrap? Of savings, that is.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
It's a Bucs life, and those looking to make the most of it join the fight at Buccaneers.com. Get late-breaking, exclusive team news. Experience games and post-game press conferences live. Get the latest information from Bucs Total Access Show and the Buccaneer Insider all at Buccaneers.com. Have a question about tickets, schedules, players, or events? Find it all at Buccaneers.com. Oh, did we mention the Tampa Bay Buccaneers cheerleader section? There's a new day rising. Live it at Buccaneers.com.
You're listening to Buccaneers Total Access on 620 WDAE, home of the Buccaneers.
Back in on the Friday night before the Bucs play the Eagles Sunday at 1, and it's going to be something else as the 10-year anniversary of the Super Bowl 37 championship team will be honored at halftime of that game, and we sit with the most valuable player from that Super Bowl, Dexter Jackson, and I'll alert the audience again here on Buccaneers Total Access that we're due to be joined by one of your teammates. We won't say who just yet. We'll just, it's a radio tease once again, and let the audience just wait to find out.
Just invite everybody on. It's that week. Invite everybody
all right,
on.
It's a great week. All your former teammates?
It doesn't matter who it is. Just invite them on.
You were saying to us that you were glad in some ways as a team that there was only a few days in between the games because you were hot.
Right.
John and Rondé were talking on Tuesday night in particular that you guys, not to say that you were cocky, but you were very confident about what you could do against the Raiders that whole week. Take me back to that week of preparation, getting ready to play the game.
very confident. You know, the previous game we played 49ers, West Coast offense. Green Bay, West Coast offense. Everyone we was playing that year ran the similar offense, West Coast offense. And going into that game, it's a funny story. Ask Rich Bisaccia, special team coach, the story. It's funny. We were in practice, and, you know, we have guys on the team, stars on the team, and practice wasn't going as well. Myself stopped practice myself and said, wait a minute. We did not come here this far just to say we play in the Super Bowl. Ask Bisaccia, ask Gruden, ask everyone. So we did not come this far.
Somehow, I don't think you did it that softly. You might have said it a little louder, a little more volume than that.
Yes, it was very emotional. It was a very emotional speech.
This is on the practice field.
On the practice field, but they got it. The thing was, if you put the time and effort in with that team, that particular team, and you was a part of that team, you was able to voice your opinion if you backed up your play. That's one thing I liked about it. No one was bigger. You know, some people say we had egos, but it's a fine line between greatness and insane. You know, we had some greatness on our team. We had some greatness.
Sure.
And you look at some of the attitudes, you make you think, is this person crazy or not? But they understood the game. They knew the history of the game. They watched film, and they was a loyal football player.
In that moment, you just felt, I need to speak up right now.
Yes. You know, sometimes things just happen. You don't prepare, but you know it's time. Something is meant. And at that moment, it was meant. Everybody has a role to play. Everybody had a role to play on that team. And at that time, I just felt like it was time for me to say something, because we seemed like we was too happy just to be there. Sometimes you get caught up being comfortable, and we was too comfortable just to be there. And I had to voice my opinion that game. And in practice, and, you know, to this day, I see Bisaccia, he'll call me on the phone. He's like, Dirt Road, you remember you got mad in practice and said, hey, y'all, pick it up. So that's just a little, you know, backdoor information I wanted to throw out today. A lot of people
he says
know
Dirt
that.
Road because they called you Dirt Road?
Correct.
Who else called you Dirt Road?
Everyone
called you Dirt Road.
Except for the fans. I was the people's champs to the fans,
right.
But to my teammates, Dirt Road.
You were Dirt Road. So
yes.
So to this day, when they see you tomorrow night at the dinner, when they see you Sunday, there will be people who will say Dirt Road. Before they say Dexter.
I bet you 5 push-ups, TJ. What you think?
I think I would probably do a lot of push-ups. Sounds like it that way to me.
Okay, 5 push-ups, that's reasonable, right? You
right.
can do 5?
I can do 5, but okay. I think I'd be doing more than that because it sounds like there'd be a lot of dirt road.
Yes, a lot of dirt roads, a lot of roads, all type of roads.
Okay, so the night before you're about to play in the Super Bowl, I mean, as much as everybody tries to say it's just another ordinary game, part of you, the little kid in you's got to be going nuts, giddy, excited. The football player that's trying to be a professional and focus has got to be saying, be focused, look at your game plan maybe one more time. What was the night like before you're about to go play the game?
Ooh, now, TJ, it was kind of difficult. You know, it was an evening game, so I'm so used to playing games at 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, noon, you know, get the game over. But it was kind of an evening game.
Right.
So that night, I love to get to myself and envision myself making plays. I always believe if you see yourself doing great things, making great plays, it comes to the light. So that night, I was in my room doing that, visioning myself. And then later, it was me, Sean King, Nate, Joe Hamilton, and one more guy. Whoever it was, they came in the room, and we was watching the film, and they were just naming who the experts picking who they think was going to be the MVP. And Joe Hamilton, he had a camcorder. I said, Joe, turn the camcorder on. He turned the camcorder on. True story.
Keep going.
That's it. Was a true story. And I was like, you know what? I envisioned myself making the MVP. I envisioned everything. And I said, everyone picking all these guys, I said, watch this. Watch who's going to be the MVP. I said, it's going to be me. I said, I like when I play great quarterbacks. You look at the stats, Brett Favre, Rich Gannon, Jeff George, Kurt Warner, I had my best games because the other quarterbacks we played, they were afraid to throw the ball down the field. It was dink and dank. And it's on tape. The tape don't lie.
Joe Hamilton's tape.
Joe Hamilton tape. Sean King knows it. There's a lot of guys who knows it.
Well, let's see if this guy knows it too, because we're talking about the night before the Super Bowl, and then we're going to get to the game itself. One of your mentors, you were mentioning this back during segment number one, is the legendary number 55, Derek Brooks,
yes.
Who's with us now on Total Access with a guy who says it's not just Dexter. Derek, what do you call him besides just Dexter? We're just checking this out and verifying this. 55.
Tomorrow, Dirty Jack.
Dirty Jack or Dirty Road? He kept saying Dirty Road a minute ago.
Dirt Road. It's Dirt Road.
Oh. Dirt Road, yeah, Dirt Road. See, I didn't know if the fans were privileged enough to know.
Well,
Dirt
he just
Road.
Shared it, right?
Well, I told him that was a locker room thing. And the fans called me the People's
yes.
Champ.
Yes.
Yeah, see, Dirt Road is the very intimate, you know, nickname for some of us that's, you know, from, you know, the upper Northwest Florida. You know, we know what Dirt Roads are.
Right.
So, and Dexter, you know, obviously being from Quincy. You know, kind of adopted that Dirt Road, and whenever he took players back home, you know, took with him, man, we had to show him what a real Dirt Road looked like.
Right.
A lot of our teammates, you know, they're city kids, but they don't know these country boys, but we had to show him what a Dirt Road is, and Dexter kind of took on that name, man, with some pride. So,
right.
I was not going to share that, TJ, unless Dexter did it first. I'm glad you told me. So I went with the old corporate nickname.
There you go. Well, here's what I did the other night with Rondé and with John Lynch, and I want to do the same thing here. I want to set you guys in motion and let you talk to each other. So I was just saying to Dexter the night before the game, what was it like? So let's just pick it up, Derek. I know you shared this with the audience some on Wednesday. For those that didn't hear all of it and are wanting to hear it tonight, what was the night before the game like for you? And you and Dexter pick it up with what was game day like getting ready for this thing? Go for it. Talk to each other. Go.
For me, my night before was actually pretty relaxing. At that point, all the preparation was done, and I was more concerned that, you know, that we or nobody did anything to be a distraction. And obviously we know what happened in terms of what the Raiders went through, but I just didn't want any of us to do that and really spoil the moment for anybody. So I was pretty relaxed. I didn't stay up, late visualizing anything. So it was pretty normal for me in terms of preparing for the game. And I was just really thinking about, my teammates and, who was going to, be the guy. Everybody, we had our players in, there that's been making plays, but I always felt, in games like this, somebody else always step up and get it going. And obviously I'm not saying that because my good friend Dexter here, but Dexter did that. Man, I was just thinking who would be that guy for us that's going to come through that no one really – expected. So when I thought about the game, I thought about that and, the trust in the information. I really had to sell myself on trusting, the information that John had given us about the personalities of the Raiders, in terms of what Rich Gannon was like, what Charlie Garner was like. Hey, Jerry Rice is going to do these things in this situation. Jim Brown, this is strength, this is weakness. I kept asking myself, man, is this too good to be true that we knowing all this information about these guys? So I just really had to convince myself to trust it, trust information, trust the preparation, and obviously we went out and did it. But that was it was like before me, a pretty normal approach to everything. But when I thought about the team, I was like, hey, let no one do anything to be a distraction, and who's going to be the guy to step up?
Right. Derek, this is Dexter speaking. Like you don't know who I am. The question I want to ask you was about the preparation. All week we're preparing ourselves, preparation. If you prepare yourself for a game, is there such things as over-preparing when you start guessing, start thinking that someone may do this and you try to guess and give up a big play?
Yes, you can. And you can definitely outthink yourself in doing that. And that's why I say I really had to convince myself that, this information that we was given, it was true. It's like, man, I don't want to overdo it or not think it. But, we'd never been to a certain degree, in this situation where the head coach, our head coach, was just their head coach, and they ran the exact same offense that he ran, and he knew these players the way that he did.
Right.
It seemed like to a certain degree that it was too good to be true. But to Dexter's point, we didn't want to outthink ourselves and over-prepare and go out there and play all tense. We were a defense full of personalities, and Dexter was, a big reason of why we stayed loose, just because of his personality. We didn't get up tight. We was a loose-playing defense. Our team had room for everybody's personality because we had one common goal, and that was to win. And we trusted each other, particularly on defense. We trusted each other to go out and do our jobs. So that's when I say I had to make sure that I didn't overthink it, overdo it. And some teams do that, and players do that. We're all guilty of that, or sometimes, and you hear it, TJ, all the time, where we outthink ourselves or try to do too much.
Sure.
So to Dexter's point, you can fall into that trap, especially in big games. And I think because we didn't have that bye week, that also helped us not fall into that trap of over-preparing and out-thinking where we could have went out there and hurt ourselves.
Voice of Derek Brooks there. It's Buccaneers Total Access. We're with the Super Bowl MVP tonight as well, Dexter Jackson. All right, for both of you, Dexter first. had to be a little bit of an anxious wait. As you were mentioning a little while ago, the game didn't kick off till a little later in the afternoon.
Correct.
What is game day like? What is pregame like at the Super Bowl for both of you? Dexter first.
No, pregame, I take it seriously. I like to get to the field early to look at the slope of the field. If the middle of the field has a crown on it, that means I can be a half a step closer inside. That means I'm running downhill. I have that half a step edge. You notice the grass. Is it rye grass? Is it St. Augustine grass? What type of spikes do I need? What type of studs? 3/4 or a half inch? When you get there early, you get loose. You get the feel for the game. Then I like to get there and walk around a stadium just to, you know, like I said, imagining yourself making those plays. But one thing I can say, when I looked into my teammates' eyes game day, I saw something in their eyes that I never saw before. I always saw the willingness to be great. But for some reason, it was a different look in their eyes, like we came here to win this. And when I noticed that, I said it's going to be a great day for us. Everyone was focused. Everyone had that identity on their face. You know, they was wearing their expression like, I came here to win. And when I noticed that expression, I was just looking around. Everyone was paused. Everyone was focused. No one was out of character. Everyone had the same goal, the same mentality that we came here to win. When I looked in everyone's eyes, I knew it was time for us to take this home.
Yeah, it piggybacking on Dexter, point that he made, we never really got out of character at all. Everyone kind of stayed within their own routine, their own space. We knew, you know, what the moment was, but we stayed focused on the game. You know, the moment of the Super Bowl, the event of the Super Bowl, that's for everybody else. The players, it's about the game. And I think we did a good job of that, being that we were the younger team. If you remember, the Raiders had the veterans. They had guys that, such as a Jerry Rice, that had been to multiple Super Bowls, knew the atmosphere, et cetera. We were the new kids on the block. No one really knew what that moment was. And that was good because it was just a game to us, and that's what we were preparing to do. But that determination, unmatched. I mean, really from, you know, guys coming to the game, and you pay attention to that. You know, is a guy that usually take the second bus, is he now taking the first bus? You know, a guy that takes the first bus, he's usually taking the second bus. But, you know, guys pretty much stay in the same routine, and that determination, you know, showed. And, again, like I said, we took in the atmosphere. Everybody wanted to be the most prepared as they can. And at the end of the day, I said, I think we went out there and had fun. But I do want to recall one moment with old Dirt Road. And correct me if I'm wrong. During the week of practice.
Yes.
I think, Dexter, were you involved in some heated moments during practice?
All right, here we go. It's Total Access. Yeah, he said just before you came on that he got a little loud about being prepared one night, but now were things more than that at one point during practice, Dexter, that week? Derek wants to know.
Well, I don't know if it was that. We had a small, I don't want to say altercation, I just say a disagreement.
A disagreement. We have the right to practice. Agree to disagree. Correct.
Did we have a fight or almost fight or something during the week in practice?
I think it's around special teams, something. Yeah, special teams.
Did it involve you?
Okay, I think I'm starting to recollect that. Wait a moment.
I think old Dirt Road was involved in that to a certain degree.
To a certain degree, but it was about the effort. It was right. About effort. It was about effort. Why we came there.
Right. And that's why I bring that up to emphasize my other point of, you know, that's why we were there. And Dexter, obviously, I let Dexter continue if he wants, but it was about, hey, we're here to win. You know,
sure.
We don't slack off. The journey is not done. We just didn't come to participate in this game. We came to win this game, and we wasn't going to let one stone get unturned, even if we had to have some the encouragement. I just put it that way.
I love how he diplomatically put that one.
Hey, that's why he's in the corporate business. You know?
I understand.
That's why he's in administrative.
Right. So some fun again from the game. The first half kind of begins, and it was a little bit of back and forth, a punt here, a punt there. And then suddenly Derek and Dexter, Rich Gannon's looking downfield, and Dexter Jackson jumps in front of a pass for an interception.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Dexter, you first. What is that moment like in a Super Bowl and Rich Gannon's looking and you see him about to throw it, you make your move, and you got a pick in a Super Bowl?
When you play a lot of zone defense, how you become good in a zone if everyone breaks at the same time? You close windows and you make it difficult. And that's what we was taught. If you see the arm come off high shoulder, you break. And the hand came off, I broke. But what people fail to realize, I'm quick to point at my defensive line. Greg Spires, Simeon Rice, Warren Sapp, they was giving great pressure as well. So it wouldn't have been possible if them guys wasn't there doing their job. So it's a team effort. The people up front do their job. The guys in the middle, the linebackers, I trust them to take care of the run. And we do our job. And I saw the pressure them guy was applying. I knew that Rich Gannon couldn't pump fake and try to come back to a different target. So I trust my instincts. Red McKees, that's the key. I read McKees and broke on the ball. And, you know, if when you prepare yourself and the opportunity presents yourself, that's how you be successful. I felt like I prepared myself. The opportunity presented itself, and I was successful in doing what I do best, and that was, you know, intercept balls.
Yeah, and Dexter actually broke on that ball watching the game. He actually beat the receiver to the point or the throw. And that's where, you know, that's how we were. Ball out, you know, feet, eyes before feet, ball out, break, and at the end of the day, catch the ball. You know, pass the defense, no one wants to lead the league in that category. We want INTs. We want game-changing plays. Set up the offense. Right. That's what our defense, you know, that's what we thrived on in doing it. And, you know, they got the first turnover of the game, and we did a good job of holding them to a field goal. But once we started that barrage, and as Dexter said, once these guys got their ears pinned back and we wasn't going for the pump fakes, we wasn't going for the opposite looks, the line didn't give Rich Gannon time to do it. And another thing that we did a good job of, particularly in the linebacker group, we took away Charlie Garner. Charlie Garner was really the focal point of offense, and he provided, man, that two-way threat that had them going all year long. So we took away him. Then we knew from an athletic standpoint, our secondary, you know, no disrespect to, you know, Jerry and Tim, but our guys, they wanted, you know, they were going to get physical with them at the line of scrimmage. And if they got, you know, in those zone windows, we was going to hit them. We was going to punish them if they caught it. And we knew Rich Cam was going to give us opportunities. As I heard Dexter say earlier, you know, with some of the older quarterbacks, man, they believe in that arm. You know, they right. think they could fit it in, and they take chances downfield. But when you're playing good zone defense, when your spacing is right, you take away those throws because they give you, as strong as their arm are, they give you a beat on the ball of where they're going. And for that particular play, Dexter got it all started. You know, with the pressure up front, Rich tried to pump off. Dexter, you know, trust his keys beat. I forgot, was Jerry Porter, or I think it was in the scene, but Dexter beat him to the point, caught the ball. And unfortunately, he didn't score. He tried to score.
I think I would have scored, but that old 55. Now. He loves to tackle, but that 55 won't block too well.
Oh, listen to this now.
Hey, man, he tried to score, man. But I must admit, that's one time I let old 34 down. Yep. I missed my block.
So 10 years later, Dexter still remembers.
TJ, I couldn't get in front of him because he was breaking downhill and I was breaking back. So when I tried to, you know, make that turn around the corner, he was by me. So I tried to, you know, I gave him the good old effort there, but I missed the block, man, and my guy ended up making the tackle.
So are you telling me that's a data boy?
No, it was an old whiplash.
Derek Brooks and Dexter Jackson cutting up here about Super Bowl 37 on a 10-year anniversary. Yeah, that a boy on that.
I definitely threw a no-hitter.
You're right.
Dexter, you got another interception later on in the game. There were three more interceptions, including the man on the phone with us getting a signature moment interception late in the game. Why were you guys, I mean, Derek alluded to it, why were you guys so successful against the NFL MVP at taking the ball away five times like you guys did that day?
TJ, I just felt like they went away from their strength and came to our strength. Our strength was rushing the quarterback, creating chaos, causing turnovers. That's our strength. You look at the whole year, that's what we did. Rush the quarterbacks, call chaos, had interceptions, turnovers. And it fueled our defense. And they came out and just pretty much said, here we go. We're going to throw the ball every down. Stop us. And we pretty much said, we're going to rush it. We're going to come at you every down. You stop us. So they was the number one offense. We were the number one defense. I think it was the first time that ever happened before.
Yep.
And, you know, it was strength against strength. And it just come to show you defense wins games. Offense sells a lot of championships. But one thing about defense, defense can always play great because of effort. Offense has to be clicking on the right cylinders at all time. If not, they'll be off balance. But defense, you have effort and just play hard. You have the advantage on the offense off top.
Right, we definitely did take them out. And I always mess with Zach Crockett, a good friend of ours who was on that Raider team. When they came out on first and 10 in their short yardage package with Zach Crockett at tailback, we knew they were done. They had no answers for us. But they took a short yardage package with their big backs and tried to run it on us on first down. And they came to the line. We called out the play. We probably hit Zach before Rich Gannon gave him the ball when he was tackled in the backfield. So
we
knew, you know, I personally knew at that point that they were searching for answers. And they came back and said they're going to air it and throw out the football. We was like, no, that's just not how you're going to beat us. We got two good guys up front. And, you know, man, you playing against us and we mixing up zone and man with our disguises, we're too tough to beat. Now, we're not going to allow you to get the big play, and you're going to take chances. And we knew that was Rich Gannon's M.O. Now, when Charlie Garner was involved with that, man, they're a heck of a football team to do it. We saw it on tape. If he was going to be a factor, we was going to have a problem. But we did a good job of taking him away, and they had no answers. And they tried to throw the ball every down. And they made some plays again as they tried to make a game of it, but for us, we just felt it was just a matter of how we're going to close the door because we knew it was not going to open it.
I just felt like it was our time. You know, we gave it all in the past. We gave it the full effort. We knocked on the door several times. I just knew it wouldn't be long before that door of success finally opened for us. I mean, we knocked on it several times, like you said, twice with the Eagles. The Rams game.
Yep.
We knocked on the door twice, well, three times. It never opened. Third time's a charm. This time it opened for us. And that's where persistence. We stayed persistent. We knew who we were, stayed who we were, stayed true to ourselves, and stayed persistent. Just kept knocking on that door. And we felt like you'll quit before we quit.
Hey, DB, we got to run here, and I know you got to run too. In 60 to 90 seconds here, say something about this man who you were with at Florida State. Came from Florida State. You were with him with the Bucs, Super Bowl MVP. Say something about Dexter Jackson real quick.
First of all, you know, my comments about him is going to be about who I've seen him grow into as a man. You know, as a husband, as a father, coming from Quincy, Florida, you know, I can't be more proud of the example that he set for his family and the work that he continues to do today with the kids that he's involved with. From a football standpoint, you know, I would not want to share the field, you know, with someone other than Dexter because I know he's smart, man. He's going to give his all, man. And, you know, he went out and he bust his butt for us. And, you know, obviously the organization thought so much about him because he's one of the very few players that signed a free agent contract with another team. But the opportunity presented itself, we got him back. And he finished his career here. So that speaks to the talent, you know, of a Dexter Jackson, man, and obviously deserving. He deserved, man, to get everything he got. And as you said before, and I heard him share the story about how he prophesied himself being the Super Bowl MVP. And again, I'm so glad that he had a chance to do that and experience that. And it just let people know when you envision things and pray on it, anything is possible.
Yes, sir.
Great way to end it there. Derek, it's always a treat to hear from you. We're going to see you this weekend, obviously, and we look forward to what's going to happen Sunday there at halftime. Thank you for spending some time one more time with us on this Friday night with Dexter Jackson here, my friend.
All right, thank you. Good job. I'll talk to you later. See you later, Dex.
All right, thank you, Bo.
All right. We will pause here. We got another teammate of yours that's coming up as well. Stand by for that. We're going to have some fun with Dexter Jackson and Buccaneers Total Access. That is straight ahead. We'll be right back on the Buccaneers Radio Network.
Geico says, let's make life simpler.
It's ironic. Sometimes technology makes life more complicated. Take your TV, for example. How many remote control devices does it take to change a channel? Geico, on the other hand, makes technology work for you. Your laptop, smartphone, tablet. No matter what device you have, no matter where you are, you're never more than a click or call away from Geico. It really is as simple as that.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
As the official bank of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, C1 Bank is offering Bucs checking to all fans. Open a Bucs checking account and get $5 for every Bucs victory and $10 if they win it all. With C1 Bank, it literally pays to be a Bucs fan. Bucs checking, only at C1 Bank. Visit us at one of our 21 locations across the Tampa Bay region or c1bank.com today for complete details. No minimum balance required. Offer available to new clients only with direct deposit or $10 monthly service charge will apply. Expires 2/3/13. Member FDIC.
Bucs fans, it's your turn to make sure that cannons will fire at this year's Pro Bowl. Celebrate the seasons of Josh Freeman, Mike Williams, Connor Barth, Gerald McCoy, Rondé Barber, and all of your favorite Buccaneers. Vote today to decide who will represent Tampa Bay in this year's Pro Bowl. Pro Bowl voting is open until December 17th. Visit Buccaneers.com to start your voting today.
Touchdown Tampa Bay, Rondé Barber!
Score dinner tonight with the Bucs Blitz offer only at Domino's Pizza, an official pizza of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. For a limited time, treat your family to a large pizza with up to 5 of your favorite toppings for just $9.99. With over 20 toppings to choose from, you never have to eat the same pizza twice. Visit Domino's.com to order your game changer online or to find a Domino's Pizza near you. Ask for code 5066. Order now and score the game changer deal for just $9.99. Offer valid at participating locations only. You must ask for this limited time offer. Prices, participation, delivery area, and charges may vary.
The longest winning streak ever recorded was 555 consecutive wins in squash. Oh, please. This year, the Florida Lottery is celebrating a 25-year winning streak, having awarded billions to players since 1988. And the streak continues with the new 25th anniversary Millionaire Scratch-Off game. 25 people will become instant millionaires with a top prize of $5 million and a second chance to win a million. So keep the winning streak alive and play the Millionaire Scratch-Off game today. Must be 18 or older to play. Play responsibly.
Buccaneers Total Access now continues on 620 WDAE, home of the Buccaneers.
And we are back in with Super Bowl 37 MVP Dexter Jackson once again. We've been saying this all week, Buccaneers and Eagles Sunday at 1, and it's the 10th anniversary, the reunion of the Super Bowl champion Buccaneers, including the likes of Warren Sapp, the man you just heard from, Derek Brooks. Keyshawn Johnson was on with us earlier in the week. Brad Johnson, the starting quarterback. And, of course, we had to have the people's champion here, Dexter Jackson, the Super Bowl MVP. As we reminisce about this, you want to reminisce with another teammate as we get ready for Sunday? You ready to do this?
TJ, that's why I'm here, TJ.
All right.
Let's do it.
Let's reminisce with another teammate and say hello to Buccaneer fans. Going to love this. The A-Train, Mike Allstott, with us here on Buccaneers Total Access. A-Train, good to talk to you, my friend.
Gentlemen, how you doing?
We're doing great, A-Train.
What's up, DJ? You all right, buddy?
I'm doing pretty good, man. What type of fuel you using for your train now? Is it what type of fuel are you using? Is it coal? What you using now? Are you going green on me?
Hey, we're going green, bro.
Hey, Mike, we have had such a blast on the radio talking about this week. So the first question, obviously, to you, 10 years. Can you believe it's been 10 years? And what is this going to be like to get around some of the guys again and reminisce about winning a Super Bowl?
I'm scared to get around these guys again. it's gonna be a good time. It really has been speaking to some of the guys through text, email, and obviously phone calls and stuff, but it's been, it's unbelievable. Blink of an eye. We're getting old, DJ, but, it's a long time. It's a long time. We haven't been around each other. And this, when we talk about this team was more special than anything ever, anybody ever played with, just because the way it wasn't all about what we did on the field. It was behind the scenes and how we got it done and the trial and errors and how we failed for so many years but kept the grind going you know, kept it going in the off season. We kept each other accountable, and it just, you know, we leaned on each other for many, many years, and we finally, you know, cracked that rock, and we got our dream come true.
Right, and I'm gonna piggyback off of Michael. We didn't have the best utilities. We didn't have the best cold tub. We didn't have the best of anything.
But at the old one buck place, right?
Oh, one buck. But mm-hmm. what we had was we had a vision and we had each other.
Yep.
And that's one thing that I can touch on. Mike can agree. A core group of guys, not even a core group of guys, the whole set of guys, whoever came there, they had high characters. It wasn't an ego. It's all about me. It was about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and how can I do my part to make the team better. And that's what we had. Look at Mike from fullback to tailback. He was willing to play different positions, play different roles. I was willing to play different roles. We even had some defensive guys play on the offense, offensive guys come over the defensive side. When you have guys who was willing to get out of their position to help the team win, help the team be successful, and people see that, water runs downhill. People buy into it.
Mm-hmm.
Water runs downhill, and people bought into it. Let's go out and have fun. And that was the biggest thing we had. Not only did we play hard, but we had fun for one another. We had fun.
When we lost those couple years, you know, against Philly, we had that chip on our shoulder, you know, through the whole offseason. And we had a perfect attendance. You know, we wanted to get back at it ASAP. There was no break. You know, we kept it mental. You know, we were mentally focused throughout the whole season. And, again, we did lean on each other. We counted on each other, and we knew each other. We'd pick each other up through adverse times. That was huge, you know. You know, we had key guys in the locker room. If it was, if you're a vocal guy, you're a vocal guy. If not, if you're inspired by your play, whatever it was, we had different types of leaders in that locker room, and everybody knew their role as far as their leadership. And that was the key things, I think, that really made us grow up and mature as a team through those years.
Again, the voice of Mike Allstott with us, along with the Super Bowl MVP, Dexter Jackson, talking Super Bowl 37 on this Friday night on Buccaneers Total Access. Mike, just before you came on, we were talking with Derek Brooks about that first half where it was a little back and forth. Brad had an early interception. Dexter got his interception. There wasn't a lot of offense, but eventually you guys got down inside the red zone, got down inside the five-yard line, and everybody, I think, in the whole building and around the world watching knew that it was A-Train time at that moment. Take us back, as I know Buccaneer fans are going to turn the radio up, sit up on their seat here if they're driving along in their car. There you go. What was it like to get the ball down on the goal line in the Super Bowl and put one in, Mike?
Yeah, it was we always talked about it. When we're going to start with the blast, we're going to end with the blast. And that's what it was. It was 14 blasts. And, you know, the Raiders knew what we were doing. There's no question about it. It's just who wanted it more. And I know listening to Derek and Dexter before it came on, it was the same. It was we wanted it. It was who was going to hit who in the mouth and then, you know, who was going to stop each other. And we just came out. We did our favorite play, and we got in. We scored. You know, it was an opportunity for me at the biggest stage of my career to contribute to my team to help them win the Super Bowl. And that's how I looked at it. It wasn't, you know what, I got a touchdown or, you know, Dexter got an interception. You know, it was, you know what, this is what we're about. We played buck ball, and whoever's number was called at any given time through the whole year or a lot of times through our career, you know, they're going to step up and answer that bell and ring that bell. And, you know, as we went on that year, offensively, you know, I was talking about it on some a lot this week already, you know, we had a lot of playmakers, you know. You had Joe, Keenan, and Keyshawn, guy just making catches, doing their thing, and then me and Pitt and Steck and some other guys in the backfield. There was no, you know, selfishness of whatsoever. We stuck behind each other, and we rooted for each other's success, and there was just that great team camaraderie that we loved, and right. Unity that it was a family, and it was my time, it was my opportunity, my number was called, and I had to contribute.
Hey, TJ, I'm pretty sure Mike can agree with me on this. After so long, you can only do so much. Eventually, you have to get your best 11 against my best 11. Who's the better man?
Yep.
That's eventually, it boils down to who's the better man, who wants it the most.
And there was a lot of better man Buccaneers on that Sunday, for sure, in San Diego. There's no doubt.
We had everything going. We had all cylinders clicking. They was firing at the same time. Everything was firing. And once you get, like, I'm going to use Mike. A train doesn't start out fast. But once it starts out slow, doom, 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 doom. You know, we was preparing the A-train. You know, we're preparing, I like to call him Tank Head, because every time you see me headbutt me, he come and headbutt me, he swear he'll run.
Did he
me
headbutt
up.
You that day?
Yes.
A couple times?
Every time I see him, get ready for a headbutt. He should have been a ram. I think he's a ram in his former life. And also, you look at other teams who's been successful, offense and defensive guys, they can get together and they can mix well.
Mm-hmm.
You have a lot of teams, offense just stick with offense, defense sticks with defense. But that particular team, we offense and defense, we gelled together. It wasn't offense, defense. It constantly was the Tampa Bay Bucks.
We knew how to prepare. In the midst of preparing, though, we knew how to compete against each other, you know, during camp, first and foremost, how we started the season off. But at the same time, as we knew how to prepare each other throughout the week, smart. We knew how to practice smart. And them were some, you know, key things that, you know, as we grew up in the league together as young Bucks, you know, that was the key thing about it. We matured and we grew and became smarter each and every year. And we knew how to prepare, and our confidence was just on Super Bowl Sunday in San Diego. Our confidence was high. We were confident in each other, in our game plan, and just about what we needed to accomplish. And you know, there was nothing going to stop us. You know, a lot of us on that team that was there in '99, that was the worst feeling ever, leaving St. Louis, and then trying to get back there the next 2 years. You know, with the Eagles, but you know, it's just the way the whole thing, the whole journey came about. It's you know, there's a great story with it. It ain't just one miracle year. It's not. It didn't happen like that. It started from you know, 95, 96, 97, and on. So
right, and I'm gonna tell you not a famous person, but I guess he is famous. He played 19 years. But this guy played his previous 18 years, never made the playoffs. And coming from a veteran guy who loved the game, to hear his story, and he broke down crying after we won the Super Bowl. Lomas Brown. Remember Lomas Brown?
Sure.
19 years, great guy. To hear him get up and speak to some of our young guys and the passion that he had for the game, to share tears. 19 years of playing professional football, you cry like a baby when we finally win it. That's how important it was for him. That's how important it was for everyone on that team. When you have leaders like that, guys who can come in and speak to the young guys and tell them what the ultimate goal really means, when you have that type of leadership, that's what makes great teams. I hate to say it, you look at the history of the game, the Baltimores, the Pittsburgh Steelers, the team who constantly win, look at their history. Look at what they have coming back. And I tip my hat off to the Bucks. We are really moving towards that direction of bringing guys back, getting history with Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
And that's something that this team and this organization, the Glazer family, wanted to do with this 10-year anniversary. Perfect, too, that the Eagles would be the opponent here for this. Guys, I got about 3 or 4 minutes left. Dexter, you're standing there after a couple of first-half interceptions and after the big plays in the second half and the game is done, and they say Super Bowl 37 MVP on the PA is Dexter Jackson, and it's there on the scoreboard. Is part of that pinch me? Is it real? I know you said earlier in the show that you believed it was going to happen, but now you're hearing it announced. You see your name up on the scoreboard, and John Lynch, famously on the NFL Films video, is mic'd up. He comes over and says, Dexter, you're the MVP.
Right, right.
What is that moment like? You're the only one that can answer that. What's that moment
man.
Like?
You just think back to your childhood as a kid. Mm-hmm. You always daydreamed, I imagined yourself being the MVP of the Super Bowl. But I was a quarterback coming up. I always envisioned myself being the MVP playing quarterback. And I say, if you think about it, I guess I I'm like a quarterback on defense. The safety have to make the calls, the adjustments. But when it happened, I mean, everything just came back instant. All the extra work, running, playing late nights in the front yard, getting tackled. Everything came back. I'm just serious. Everything preparing me for that moment. Everything came back and said, and made me think about it. Yes, it was worth it. All them days in high school, getting beat up, getting banged, it was worth it. College years, it was worth it. NFL years, it was worth it. You realize once you put that time in and it came to the light, everything was worth it.
Mike, we got to go in about 2 or 3 minutes from a team standpoint and from an individual standpoint as part of that team. To have the final seconds tick off and you're a Super Bowl champion and there's the Lombardi Trophy on the field and there's a parade coming. What is that like for you 10 years later to think about it and remember it?
It's, we talk about Lomas. You talk about Dan Marino. You talk about all these guys that played for so many years and they don't have a ring. They never held up that Lombardi Trophy. And just the way we did it, you know, the touchdowns are great. Everything we did in between the lines was phenomenal. But it was the guys, man, just like Dexter was talking about. We dreamt this, you know, our whole childhood. And you saw it, you felt it when you're on the field with these guys each and every day. Everybody had a passion, their character, the way they handled themselves on and off the field, in the community now. You know, the group of guys that, you know, I was honored to play with, and I'm so excited to see you after 10 years. You know, it's another dream come true, you know, and, you know, just an honor. You know, you talk about being a part of, you know, history, you know, and being a part of an awesome organization, an awesome city, and being a part of an awesome group of guys that will, you know, with relationships you'll have forever. I'm so excited for this weekend, and I'm so proud to, you know, be affiliated with each and every one of them that we're going to see this weekend. And, you know, it's going to be awesome. It's going to be emotional. It's going to be a great time, and I can't wait.
Sure. What a fitting way to end it. A-Train, thank you for dialing in on this Friday night. We look forward to seeing you this weekend and on Sunday at halftime. We appreciate you being with us tonight on the radio.
Hey, DJ.
Say something to him leaving there, too. Go ahead, D-Jack. Quick.
Mike, I'll see you later. But also, I do a lot of things helping a lot of kids, obese kids, crisis kids. Go to my website, djacksonmvp.body, bodybyvi.com.
Check that out.
djacksonmvp.bodybyvi.com.
Yeah, check that out. Mike Allstott, thank you. We look forward to seeing you this weekend. Super Bowl MVP, People's Champion.
TJ, Jeff.
Thumbs up. Have some fun this weekend, as if I have to tell you that, Dexter Jackson.
Yeah,
we got to get out of here.
Jeff going to have thumb cramps.
For all the thumbs up. My thanks to Jeff Ryan, Eric Sachs back at the station. Even Kelly Schutz playing her tonight. Good job tonight, Kelly. Have fun with the Super Bowl reunion, Buck fans, this Sunday. We'll talk to you then on the Buccaneers Radio Network.
Fire up your crew, Bucks fans. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers offer great